Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together today. As we begin this service, we invite your presence to fill this place and your Holy Spirit to guide us. Open our hearts to your word, our voices for praise, and our minds to your truth. May all we do bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And our service this morning is led by our own James Skinner. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Good morning, everybody. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let us pray. God's lamp lights up our path, allowing us to tread with confidence. No need to hesitate. Come, let us choose to draw even nearer, to worship and to wait on him. Amen. We sing our first hymn, Sing for God's Glory. It. Just a word, we remember our young people at this point, but we're so pleased to see Jamara and Jeremy and Sally. It's great to see you here today. We'll just have a blessing for all our young people who are present with us and those that are not. Heavenly Father, we hold before you our young people, the people who spend time with them when they come to church as well. We ask that you will continue to bless them and through their gatherings bring forth your purpose. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us pray. When we come to our prayer of confession, there will be a response to join in. So please do that as indicated. Gracious God, we celebrate your generosity in giving your word of life to us. From the pages of Scripture, we have read the word. In the life of Jesus, we have seen your word. In the power of your Holy Spirit, we have lived your word. This word that is light in our darkness, security in our confusion, hope in our exploration. This word that transforms our lives, uniting us as a people of the book, drawing us to this place to offer our worship. Generously, you have made your word available to us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we come to our time of confession. We hear the word of God, but we do not always live our lives in harmony with it. We ask the Lord to forgive us and heal us. God, our Creator, touch our hearts and our minds that we may live as you intend. We ask the Lord to forgive us and heal us. Jesus, our life giver, give us depth and faithfulness that God's message may not wither in us. We ask the Lord to forgive us and heal us. Holy Spirit, our sustainer, make us receptive to God's word and to the message of life it brings. We ask the Lord to forgive us and heal us. God, in your great goodness, speak to us your word of forgiveness and lead us into new and fruitful life with you. Amen. Lord, we come to you, knowing our own weaknesses and failings. Receive us by your grace. Help us to mend our lives, we pray. And by your mercy, turn our hearts of stone to hearts of love. Amen. We now sing our next hymn, which takes on our theme of confession. It's 419.
Oh,
sit for our Old Testament reading now.
This reading comes from Genesis 27, 1 to 27a. Isaac blesses Jacob. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called his elder son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am," he said. "See, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. Then prepare for me savory food such as I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game for his father, Rebekah said to her son, "Jacob, I heard your friend, your father, say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me game and prepare for me savory food to eat, that I may bless you before the Lord, before I die.' Now therefore, my son, obey my word as I command you. Go to the flock and get me two choice kids so that I may prepare from them savory food for your father, such as he likes. And you shall take it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to his mother Rebekah, "Look, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man of smooth skin. Perhaps my father will fill me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my word and go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of her younger son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. And she put the skins of the kids on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she handed the savory food and the bread that she had prepared to her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, so that you may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went up to his father Isaac, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and he smelled of his garments and blessed him.
Thank you very much. One part of an enduring soap opera from the Old Testament. We now sing a hymn that asks us to understand those scriptures. "Speak, O Lord."
Receive the fruit of
Sit now for our New Testament reading.
And as you can see, the reading is taken from Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the wealth that would belong to me.' So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and travelled to a distant region, and there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, and here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field, and as he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes,
You killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.
Thank you very much. Cast your minds back 30 years ago. Do you ever remember a wonderful light in the night sky? It was there for weeks, if not months. Do you know what that light was? Do you remember seeing that? That was the Hale-Bopp comet. And my thrill was coming out of the town of Chipping Norton, where we were living at that time, going to meetings in the villages. And the view of the comet was always much better in the sky out there because it was so much darker. There was no street lights and house lights to compromise it. Those of us who live in towns forget what real darkness is like. If you live in a village where the lighting is very limited, you know the value of a good torch and lights outside the house to show the path ahead. Light is important, for it shows us the essentials. In darkness, we can stumble and fall. But the torch can only do one thing at a time. It can help you see where you are putting your feet, or show you the path immediately ahead, but not both at once. You have to keep changing the way you use it. The psalmist says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path. This psalm's background is quite interesting. The Psalter is one of the biggest books in the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament. And it is a large book. It's got a great variety of different psalms. Some are exuberant and full of praise. Others are cries for help. Others are in reflective mode. Some are laments. And a few are very difficult to cope with, expressing sentiments that Christians ought not to articulate. Psalm 119, from which the words of my text comes from, is the longest psalm in the Psalter. Divided into 22 sections of 8 verses, a grand total of 176 verses. Each section begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it goes through the alphabet in correct order. In the psalm, it is a reflection of a totality of God's revelation. You'll be quite pleased to know that we're not reading all of that psalm. Just thinking about the verse that begins the section at 105, beginning with these words, Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. As the psalmist writes, he's conscious of danger. He's under attack from enemies. They're constantly trying to trick him and catch him out. Now, God's word for the psalmist could include the 10 words, or as we know them, the 10 commandments God sent to the people through Moses, and which on which Jewish law was largely based. It could also include all of Holy Scripture, prophecy and sacred stories, including Abraham and Jacob. But the psalmist shares two pictures with us: a lamp to my feet, a light on my path, about how God's word is that help for him. So let's take them in turn. Firstly, a lamp to my feet. The Bible helps us see where we are putting our feet. It reflects the experience of people who have tried to follow God's way. And let us see how much human experience is found in the Bible. Because the Bible is very realistic about what people are like. It's honest about the times when people have fallen. But it offers hope, even when we fall, that we can regain our feet. And that's a message that we find in both Testaments, Old and New. Jesus told the story of a parable to answer his critics who said he was keeping the wrong company. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. And it tells of two human reactions. The reckless young son who tries his own way, only to end up on the rocks, spent up and living riotously. The contrast is the honest older son who can't find it in his heart to forgive and accept back his younger brother. And in between is the loving father who wants both of them. And the parable gives us hope that when we have gone off in our own way, but it also encourages us to welcome back those who come back when they have been away. For that is what God would wish. Another story that reflects human ups and downs is the Jacob saga of stories. Now, I've only shared one of them with you today, and they're found in the second part of the book of Genesis. These tales fit comfortably into many a contemporary TV soap opera. It starts with Jacob cheating his brother out of his birthright, followed by stealing his blessing, having to run away from his brother for his life, having a vision of God on his way to his uncle Laban, being cheated by his uncle Laban over his choice of wives, and then eventually, after a long time, reconciliation with his brother Esau. And then we have all the goings on of his different sons. I mean, I'm sure you know about Joseph and his coat of many colours as it's come down to us today. Much of human life is found in these stories and others, through which we ourselves can see who we are. And the amazing thing is that God is prepared to use somebody like Jacob, in spite of his devious ways, to be the person through which his purposes are carried out. But the most important way the Bible identifies with human experience is through the telling of the story of Jesus. For the Bible goes at great lengths to remind us that God was in Jesus. Jesus was human in the way that we are human, subject to many of the pressures that we are. The story that I think perhaps helps us understand this most clearly is the story of the desert temptations, because it crystallizes in a short account many of the temptations Jesus must have had throughout his ministry to conform to the person that his contemporaries wanted him to be: the military liberator from the hated Romans, not to fulfill the role God wanted, the role that had been foreseen by the writers of Holy Scripture, people like Isaiah, who had seen the Lord's chosen one as the suffering servant of the Lord. Because Jesus succeeded where humanity has failed, that brings us all new hope. So the Bible offers us hope on two levels. Firstly, God uses people in spite of their failings, and people are never out of favour forever. And God is ready to welcome us back when we are sorry. But secondly, it describes a God who walks the same difficult path as we do. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. A lamp to my feet, but secondly, a light on my path. The same torch pointed at our feet can also be used to look for the way ahead. Do you like to travel? Not travel from a place to place, but are you prepared to go on a journey of discovery about who you are, what God wants you to do? A journey of faith. And the Bible is a help to see us on our journeys. It's not a set of detailed travel directions like the ones you would take from one place to another. It's not a route planning service. But it does enable us to plan our lives from beginning to end. But can help us take the next steps forward. There's a hymn we're going to sing in a moment, which clearly sets out the Bible's role in guiding us in just a few of the phrases. This is how the Bible can throw light on our path. It's a compass for travel. It's a map in the desert, a lamp in the dark. The way that the scriptures can prepare us, because they teach us, they rebuke us, they correct and they train. They're gifts for God's people to fit them completely, fully equipping to walk in his ways. They're guide to good works and effective believing. These are our scriptures. For this we give praise. The Bible can be like a torch that can throw light on our path as we travel. But we must be prepared to use it properly. Study its meaning. Pray about what it is saying. Act on what we believe it says to us. Your word is a lamp to my feet, but also a light on my path. And the third thought is, the Bible is not the journey. Knowing the Bible helps us put things in perspective on life's journey, but the Bible is not our personal journey. It is a record of how other people have travelled, and they can help us work things out. We can also learn through sharing experiences with other Christians. We can listen to God prompting us through the things that happen. But in the end, we have to both see and walk in the direction we believe God is calling us. We can't just rely on other people's experiences. We actually need to seek out our own, find out what is personal to us. And finding our path as we journey to find God's purpose for us. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. A torch can be used in several ways. A light for where we put our next steps, as well as a light to see where the path might be going next. In the Bible, if the Bible is to help us on that journey, I believe we would be very well advised to travel with it regularly, engage with it in different ways, on our own, with others in a house meeting, through the words of the preacher, and comparing it with our life's experiences. For it is when we do take it seriously that its light may shine more clearly for us as we work out our Christian journey. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. May it guide us on our travels. Amen. We're now going to sing that hymn that I quoted from, Powerful in Making Us Wise to Salvation. Please sit as we come for our prayers for others. And there will be a response, the usual one, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So please join in as prompted. Let us pray. Our celebration of your word and life is always incomplete if we forget other people. So this day our hearts reach out in love to all those whose experience of your word has been shaped in the harshness of life. We think of those who are continually downtrodden, men and women sitting at the pavement, watching others pass by. People oppressed by the success of others, and all who in their weakness are regarded as the flotsam of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember today those who find themselves between rocks and hard places, young and older folk with decisions to make, who find the gathering of facts and the weighing of consequences far beyond them, who live with the regret of past choices and have no confidence in the future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our world is increasingly confrontational and significantly self-indulgent. There are many people whose frail grasp of faith is crushed by the pressure of other ways. We pray for all who find meaning and purpose, for those who drink at the well of other faiths, for all who want the sunshine of your love, that you may reach through the shadows and bless them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And loving God, we pray for all in whom faith has taken root, for members of the church family here in Whitney, members of the worldwide Church of Jesus Christ. Today we're asked to remember Christians in the Caribbean, but also in Cornwall and Devon. That each will achieve their potential of life and love, and that each will be the world for people and nations until that great day breaks and your kingdom comes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. To your care and keeping, we commit all who need a special sense of your presence, those known to us who walk alone, those who face some crisis in their family, perhaps a moment of quiet when we can remember them. Remember those who are unwell. Those who are approaching death. And for all the people who journey with them, we pray your presence in Jesus' name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We now join our prayers together as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Today is Rural Mission Sunday, and we are part of a rural circuit. And this is the prayer that has been given for today. Creator God, you are the Lord of the harvest. Your presence is woven into the changing seasons and the rhythms of our countryside. Today we open our hearts in thankfulness for the communities in which we live and work and worship. We praise you for the beauty of the earth, for the fields that feed us, for the life that thrives in our villages and rural spaces. And we give you thanks for the rural stars among us, those whose faithful service keeps communities alive. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And the prayer for the coming week. Lord, this coming week may bring troubles and difficulties. Shine the light of your word where there is darkness, that you may guide each step we take. And help us to remember the past times when it was difficult, and to see how you gave us life when all seemed lost, that with joy we may praise you this day, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. We conclude our time of worship by singing a hymn written by our own Rachel Prince, "Christ, Be in My Understanding." Lord, we've heard your word. By your Spirit, help us in our daily lives to bear the fruit of that word, that we may be known just as, not just as hearers, but as doers of the word, that all peoples may come together at the last in worship of you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us this day and forevermore. Amen.